This morning's meditation, desire to read from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. May God bless our reading. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, much welcome hearers of the Word of God. This morning, the Word that is before us is really a word of admonishment, a word of encouragement, but it's a word that gives us absolute direction, that if we were to simply take heed to this, we will be the most blessed people of any. The word that calls us is to put our confidence and our hope in Christ Jesus. And so with that simple call to us, if we think about just that, if my confidence, my hope is in Christ, that means I need to put my eyes upon him, focus upon him. With he as my confidence, with he as my hope, he will see me through this struggle in life, which the brother in the prayer mentioned many things of the struggles that we face. And he mentioned that there's even many things in our lives that may never change. Hardships that may never change, but we will continue with those hardships through to the end. but it's God who will see us through to that end. Whether those hardships are disabilities, if it involves a wheelchair, if it involves inability to see, or whatever the case might be, those hardships continue through life. But when my confidence and my hope is in Christ Jesus, he sees me through all of this. And what the writer is speaking of here is to put our focus upon him. And who is he? Well, he brings out here, he says, he addresses the holy brethren. And he says, we are all partakers of a heavenly calling. And so he says, consider. Okay, consider. Think about this. Think about the apostle and high priest of our profession, of our faith, Christ Jesus. So, who exactly is he? He tells us. He is the apostle. And an apostle is one who is sent. He is a sent one. So Jesus was sent from heaven to show us the will of the Father. And so every man in this life, every man born here, has to have a direction, and he has to have the means to which to come to that end. And so Jesus was the sent one, the apostle of our faith. He was the high priest. What is the high priest? The high priest was the one who stands between, or the one who provides the sacrifice that will reconcile us back to our God. And so Jesus is sent, and Jesus is, as it says, the propitiation. He is the sacrifice for us. And so he says, consider him. Put your hope, put your trust, put your confidence in him. He is the one who is sent. He is the one who is the high priest. He's the sacrifice. He's the one that stands between you and God and brings us to him with his sacrifice. And he says, who was faithful to him that appointed him. He makes a comparison here, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. And so in the earlier chapters, the writer establishes that Jesus is superior to the angels. He shows him as the creator of the world, as the one who spoke all things into existence. And here he's comparing him to Moses. We think of Moses. Moses was a giant in the scriptures, as others were, of Abraham and Isaac and David. And the word here is comparing Jesus to Moses, who, he says, Moses was faithful in all of his house. He said, but this man is counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Why? Inasmuch as he who has builded the house has more honor than the house. So Moses, despite his faithfulness, he was a member of the house. He was the house. He was not the builder of the house. He was a servant. He was a servant. But above that house, the creator of the house was Jesus himself. And so we can look at that as when you look at something, you don't do your oohs and ahs over something, but over who created that. We can look at a gem, at a most precious metal. Here he says a house. We can look at a gem. It's something that is beautiful, awestruck by its splendor, and yet there's a creator of that. He deserves far more recognition than the gem itself. And so he says here, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And so, and as Moses verily was faithful in all his house, he was faithful as a servant. For testimony of those things which to be spoken after. And so Jesus himself also speaks of the greatness of a man. He chooses John the Baptist. He says John the Baptist was greater than any man born to any woman. But he says, but those who are the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than he. What does it mean to be the least in the kingdom of heaven? It's to be a faithful servant, and it's to humble yourself before Almighty God and to receive him into our hearts and to put all of our confidence and our hope in him. Of all the giants of Scripture that are spoken of, in this very book, in the chapter of faith, as we call it, the heroes of faith, there's many names who are written there. And Jesus chooses John the Baptist as the forerunner, the one who came and spoke about the birth of Jesus and the coming of the one, the Son of God himself. And so he says here, brethren, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. We are partakers here. He's not speaking of someone that we just hope we will one day become a partaker. He says, as we have confessed Jesus Christ, and as we have submitted, and as we have come to him, we are partakers of this profession. And so he says, in Christ, which he says is Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? So this house that Moses was part of, we are part of also. And whose house is it? It's the Son's. It's Jesus Christ. It's his house. We are his. Imagine that, dear ones. But then he lays a word out here that we need to really take heed to. He says, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So again, our confidence and our hope must be held firm unto the end if we are to be this house, which is the house that Jesus is over. We can see here that many put their hope in Moses. Moses was a man who came and died. And we see even Peter. Peter, who was, when Jesus asked him, who do people say that I am? And some said John the Baptist, Elijah. He says, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter comes out and says, thou art Christ, the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. And it's the same Peter that shortly after, he is in the Mount of Transfiguration, and he sees Moses, and he sees Elijah, and he sees the Son. And he mumbles about and stumbles about, and he says, let's build three tabernacles. And God spoke. God spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Your hope is not in Moses. Your hope is not in Elijah. This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom he would never put Moses or Elijah or anyone on the plane of his beloved Son. They were merely servants of the house of whom the Lord was Lord over and owner of. And so he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He has to be our confidence, our hope. He has to be the one in whom we put all of our consideration upon, if we are to be, as he says, if we hold fast, whose house are we? If we hold fast. So we see here now there is something that we are being called to hold fast. Hold fast to what? The confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. And so what is our hope in? What am I confident in? I could be a wonderful, renowned builder of some kind. I could be a laborer who there is none my equal. Is that what I put my hope in? Am I putting my hope in maybe I'm a savvy investor? I know how to buy, sell, make money, and I'm going to talk about what I can do, how I can progress. And I speak about those things, and I have my confidence in those things. He says, put your confidence in Christ, not in anything else. Don't put it in the things of what you can do, of what you can make, what you can become, no. Your confidence is where your hope is. And he speaks then of an example. Of an example for each one of us, dear ones, to really take heed to. He says, as the Holy Ghost, this is the Spirit of God who is speaking, he says, harden today if you will hear his voice. You know, God never speaks about tomorrow. He never tells you, tomorrow do this. He never says that. I've never seen him say, tomorrow. He always says today. And so you have a call. You have a call today. Don't say I wasn't called. Because the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice. Now, he says, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That means there is an absolute attempt on you and me. When I hear the Holy Ghost speak, because I know him to be true, I know him to be faithful, and so I have to harden my heart against that because I will choose not. And he gives an example of Israel. He says, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, God's intent for Israel was not to travel 40 years through the wilderness. It was a short journey that he was going to solidify their faith in him. It was a short journey that he was going to embolden them and bring them to the promised land of Canaan, where they would be, where the Canaanites would be easy for the Israelites to come in and inhabit. But what happened? He says, your fathers tempted me. They proved me. They saw my works for 40 years. They saw. These are the same people that stood on the banks of the Red Sea and looked and says, oh no, the Egyptian army is pursuing them and they're standing here. The water is before them. They have nowhere to go. And they watch as the land is created, a pathway, a road is created. They walk over dry ground over to the other side. They saw this happen. They saw. It wasn't faith that was needed. They had eyes to see. He said, but they tempted me. Because in the wilderness, they got tired of no fish. They got tired of no leeks. And all the different things that they were fed had an abundance in Egypt. There's something lacking to them suddenly. The provisions of God was not enough. Why? Because their heart was drawn to something that pleased the flesh. And so you and I are merely traveling through. God pulled them out of Egypt. He took them out of Egypt. And he had a journey for them to bring them to a land that he promised them. And he was going to take them through that land. He was the one who was going to bring them through. And he had them circling around for 40 years because of unbelief, a hardening of a heart that took place in spite of seeing the miracles. They saw, he says here, they saw. They tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. And so, dear ones, we are going through this. God had pulled us out of this world. He had pulled us out of condemnation. He had taken us out of a certainty of death and separation from God. A hell that is never ever overcome. It continues on and on and on. And God took us out of that. And he puts us on a journey right now. And that journey is until we close our eyes to this life. And then he will take us to where? To the land that he promises us. To the land where he dwells. To the land where we will see him. With eyes that he will give us. not these earthly eyes, but new eyes and a new body, to be able to see him in his glory, which these earthly eyes cannot see. And we will see him and be with him. Is the journey becoming too cumbersome for us? Are we looking back on the things of, oh, it was pretty good for me. I had this, I had this. I didn't have to give up this. I didn't have to give up this. And, oh, I wish I still had these things. As the brother prayed, maybe those hardships in life that we are facing right now will never go away. Is that where our confidence and our hope is in? That, oh, if this was lifted, now I can praise God. Now I can serve him better. No. The people's hearts never changed. The hardening of the heart. When you harden your heart, that's the problem. The heart. And so, and that's why Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, I never knew you. He speaks to Christians. He says, I never knew you. Why? Because they took their eyes off of him. He was not their hope. Though they preached in his name, and though they did many things in his name, their heart never changed. They did things to do them in hopes of being saved, but their heart was far away. How can that be? Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ. Those of us who are the body, who are of this house that the Lord owns and he is over. We are mere servants in this house. How can it be that we would take our eyes off of him? How can it be that we would get tired of this journey that we are on, in which we, when he is my hope, he is my confidence, and he is the one who I seek to glorify through my life, through everything that I have. I want to magnify and glorify his name. He is the one. He is the builder of the house that I am in. I am just a servant of his. And so he says here, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said they do always err. Where? In their heart. In their heart. And they have not known my ways. I know we come together as believers. And I know many of us, not many of us, all of us, have given up things in this life. We better have. We give things up, right? For Christ. Okay? But am I erring in my heart? Because Jesus says here, those people erred in their heart. Their heart wasn't right with him. And so they sought after things that God wasn't giving them. And God saw to it that they didn't need those things. In order to make it through this journey, they didn't need those things. They needed just to simply put their faith, and their trust in him, their confidence in him, their hope in him. And they hardened their hearts. And so he says, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And then he gives us a warning in verse 12. He says, take heed, brethren. He's calling these who are partakers of this heavenly calling. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. Again, here's the heart of unbelief. I'm going to say, oh, that's not me. I believe. He says, there's going to be an evil heart of unbelief, and you're going to depart from the living God. This departure, dear ones, is the word that we today get the word apostasy from. This means to stand away from, to depart from, to apostatize in your heart. We may come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, three times, and because I'm doing. The Israelites were traveling. They were going. But their hearts were hardening. They were putting their confidence in their labors and in the things that they desired, things that God freed them from. Do you ever desire the things that you have left behind? That's an evil heart of unbelief. We can't call it anything else. When I am being drawn back into the sin that God saved me from, He saved me from its penalty. He saved me from its power. We say, well, how? When I'm always going back, it's because you have an evil heart of unbelief. That startles me when I read that. There's nothing in your heart, in your life that you can put your confidence in yourself. I mean, there's nothing in yourself that you can put your confidence in, that you can do. You're going to have confidence in yourself? Well, then you've taken your eyes off of the high priest, the apostle of our profession, Jesus Christ. We're not considering him. We're not putting our hope in him. And so he says, take heed. You know, today there's much is spoken of not being able to fall away. There's many sermons spoken, many books written, many things said about once you have become Christ, you cannot fall away. Who does he say take heed to then? He says it to brethren. Take heed, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Apostatizing. Take heed. And then he goes and he says, exhort one another daily. And so now, this is where his body, this is his house. We are his house. A faithful servant in his house, we will exhort one another. We will speak of him. When a thought comes to me, when a verse comes to me, when a revelation comes to me, and I don't mean extra biblical, I'm talking biblical revelations. When they come to us, we're to share those things with one another. Why? To exhort one another. Why? To build up one another. We are our brother's keepers. We are to help one another. And so he says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What's going to harden our hearts? Sin, which is unbelief. Because I feel, and so what we do, we trample on Christ. Grace. We trample it. We trample him. Because we are confident that I can sin. I'm confident I can sin. And because God is a God of love, he will still save me in my sin. Where did I read that? I didn't read it in the scripture. I didn't read that there. Because I've hardened my heart and I have departed from a living God. My hope, my confidence, and my consideration is no longer on the apostle, the one who is sent. My consideration is no longer on the high priest, the one who became the sacrifice and was the go-between, the one who brought me to God. I'm not considering him anymore. When I can consider that I can wander around in this desert and crave the things that are in the world. God intended for that desert traveling that they went through to be exactly what it was. Our lives, what we are in, where we are, who we are, God has given unto us himself. He has given us his spirit. And with his spirit, are you going to say that I have no power? You know, man, one of the tenets of Calvinism is utter deprivation, where a man is just looked at as just scum, no good. That is man outside of Christ. In Christ, we are no longer that. That's not who you and I are. We are a house that is built by who? By the Lord Jesus, the one who saved me, the one who cleansed me with his precious blood, sanctified me. So we look at God who has cleansed me and made me as white as snow, and I'm supposed to do what? Go roll around in the mud of sin and say, I'm good. God's grace covers it all. When I sin willfully. I sin because I want to. I sin because I want to. And I think for that moment, it's worth the risk. Because tomorrow, I'm not going to do this. Tomorrow. Where'd you read that? You didn't read it in the Holy Scripture. You're deceived by sin. That's what it says here. We become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It says, but we are made partakers of Christ. Partaker of Christ? How are you a partaker of Christ? How am I a partaker of Christ? We are renewed. We are renewed in mind. You have the mind of Christ. That's not utter deprivation. You have the mind of Christ. Be ye holy as I am holy. You have taken on Jesus Christ. He has come into our heart and life. We have become partakers of Jesus Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. He tells the church, you have left your first love. The beginning. The beginning is the love of Christ. The love, as I consider him, the one who was sent, the one who was the sacrifice, the high priest. When I consider him, I take my eyes off of him. I no longer love him. I love the world. I love Egypt. Give me Egypt, the people were saying. And so he says, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast, no wavering, steadfast, immovable, steadfast, moving on. The things of this life, the confidence and the hope of this life is gone. We're not in this life. This isn't what we are about. We're traveling through to get to the promised land. God didn't intend for Israel to travel that way. And look at what was happening. They traveled for 40 years. They were being pursued by their avenger. 40 years being pursued until they were caught. Who was that avenger? Death. That avenger is after you and me too today. But dear ones, we make it to the promised land when our confidence is in him, when we consider him, put our trust and hope in him, and so then he says it again. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. He says it twice in this chapter. He says, for some, when they heard, they did provoke. They heard. You heard, I heard today. We heard. Are we going to provoke when we leave? Or are we going to exhort one another? Are we going to provoke the Lord by provoking one another? By not being kind to one another? And when we talk about kindness, we're not talking about, oh, here, be kind. You can walk by in front of me or whatever the case might be. You can take my place in line. And that's not the kindness that we're talking about. Because that kindness you can get in the world. We're talking the kindness of Jesus Christ. To be born again and transformed in mind and soul, to become a new person. Completely renewed, transformed, a new man, new birth, a miracle, a miracle. God makes that miracle happen. But you and I have to look at him and have our eyes fixed upon him and him alone. Don't put your confidence in anything in this world. And he says, and then he says, for some, when they heard, they did provoke. And then he goes on, he says, but who was he grieved 40 years was not with them that had sinned? So, we now see what happens with God when you and I sin. God doesn't say, oh, no problem, son. Grace covers it all. No problem. Continue on your merry way. No, he said he's grieved. He's grieved. And so he calls you and me to come to him. And so he says, today, when you heard my voice, don't harden your heart. Don't be deceived. Because he says, to whom did he swear? That they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. Unbelief, it says, is the deceitfulness of sin is unbelief. So don't, brothers and sisters, let's not hang our hats on, oh, I believe Jesus. Oh, I believe in God. Jesus makes it clear to us that our faith in him is our trust in him. And when we trust him for our salvation, we will look upon him. We will consider him, as it says. We will consider who? Jesus. That's it. It's him and none other. And so, dear ones, we are Christ's house. We are his house. We are servants. He is our Lord. And as the Lord of his house, he looks on that house. He furnishes it. He provides. He gives everything that is needed. As a Lord of that house, he gives everything to it that is needed. You and I will never be left desolate, alone. None of us will need to, oh, woe is me. None of that. In Christ, there's none of that. In Christ, there is hope. In Christ, there is confidence. Though the things of this life may not change, though the hardships of this life might continue all the way to the day I close my eyes to this life, it's okay, because Christ is my hope. I will see his face. And so, brothers, sisters, dear friends, all of us today heard today. None of us heard about tomorrow. None of us heard about tomorrow. Because if we did, we're hearing it from a man. And don't listen to a man. Listen to God. God spoke. You and I are called to come back to him, to put our trust, our confidence, our hope, everything in him. Focus upon him and learn of him. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the problem. When we see him, the flesh doesn't like what it sees. The flesh wants glory. The flesh wants me. Look at me. Puffing himself up. Look at what I own. Look at what I possess. Look at this. Look at this. Look at me. Because we're not looking at Jesus. What a shame. The biggest shame is that from believers we get oohs and ahs. Ooh, look at you. I want to be like that. That's the biggest problem. Deceitfulness creeps into the body of Christ. And many, many become defiled. Many. You see, when we exhort one another the way the Bible calls us to, those things are left out. Because that's not what life is about. It's not what life is about. It's about him. And so that's my prayer, dear ones, today, for each one of us, that our hope, our confidence, our trust, our faith would be upon him. He empowers us. He gives us victory. We just need to put our eyes upon him and follow him. Amen.
Hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We are called to faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he would be our confidence, that he would be our hope. I love this verse. It gives us a good picture of what faith is. That word faith, the English word that we use, somebody had to come up with a word to describe the concept and the idea that you're trying to convey. And the word that they used was not a word about your mind or about your ideas or what you say. It was an old English word, faith, which means to fasten oneself to. And as they were thinking about this concept of what it means to have faith, they thought, well, it's gonna hit home with them if we use a word that means to fasten oneself to. Because that's what it is. To be bound up with Christ, with his message, with his mission, to believe it, and to be described by it, to hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. As I think of that idea of being fastened or having faith in Christ, I think of what Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. And the hardest thing, when we want to flee that cost and that sacrifice most, Paul gives this description of faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Beloved, will the world turn us away from fastening ourselves to Christ and being at one with him? That's our call and our mission. How he deals with us and the course of life that he chooses best for us. How he extends mercy and help. That is up to him. But as for me and my house, let us say we will serve the Lord. We will hold fast to Jesus Christ and to his word. And that means going to the cross with him, where the world is crucified to us and us unto the world. And then we find life. May God bless his word, and may we find in him the one who is the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, our life and joy. Amen.